Whether we feel like it or not, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I don't care how much of a struggle somebody's in today, Father. According to Your word, every Christian that is born again, struggling or not struggling, has power over this world, Father. We have been born again. We have been born again. So we give You praise this evening, Jesus. We give You praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sit it real quietly, please. Hallelujah. Worship You, Lord. Sometimes you just don't know what it costs somebody to lift up their hands and worship God. What do you mean by that? I mean exactly what I said, but sometimes you just don't know. Sometimes you got children that are running wayward and trying their best to get to hell and tries to bother you, but sometimes you just don't know what it costs. Right, Kathy? Amen. Right, Homer? Amen. I tell you, I'm going to share something. I'm telling Terry earlier, sometimes I live in a little cubicle. I have very limited friends that I talk to, and I got to grow out of it. I got to get out of it. I've been saying that for 20 years. Eventually, I will. I'm very reserved at times, but I'm only the certain people that I hang around with. A lot of teenagers from the church and Kathy and Julio. But I very seldom talk about my personal life with anybody. But I tell you, when I say you don't know what it costs when somebody lifts up their hand, sometimes you just don't know. We think we know. Another thing I've been battling a lot the last 2 months is my health. One of the worst things. I don't like talking about it much. I really don't. I don't like talking about it. But I'll tell you this, you know, sometimes the biggest fear that comes upon me is I'm having a fight for my sight, my eyesight. Ask Deidre, and he rides with me all the time. Watch out, Homer, there's a mailbox. I know Deidre in the mailbox. It's a mile away, son. I can see it. But I'm having a fight for my eyesight a lot, but I'm going to win. You know, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. Why? Because I say so. Because Dr. Phil says so? No, because the Logos, God's word, says so. That's all we have to stand on is His word. Really, and not externally, but this has to abide in us. But I'm telling you, just there's nowhere else we can go but into Him. There's nowhere else we can go but into Him. I tell you, if we ever come to know who we are in Him, we'll never be the same. I don't care if you're a struggling Christian. I don't care what you did yesterday, and guess what? Neither does He. What's the vision of this church? What's the vision of this church? What is it? What is it? Well, before you pass judgment on what I'm fixing to say, you got to hear me out. It's not this church's policy. Like, hear me out now. Don't judge what I'm going to say until after I say it. It is not the policy of this church to accept people the way they are. It is God's policy. We just follow His policy. It is not the policy of this church to accept homosexuals. It's His policy to preach Jesus to the lost. I don't care if you've been born again for 2 months and you're struggling with sin. It doesn't matter. You come to the right place, my friend. You come to, if I'm, Pastor Omar, I'm struggling real, I can't get over alcohol. My friend, you come to this place. We come to show you through the instruction of the mighty Logos, God's word, how to come out of your mess. I don't care if you've been born again for 16 years and you're still struggling with the things of this world. We are here to help you. So rejoice. We bring you good tidings today. I don't care what anybody else has told you about yourself. I don't care how many preachers have tried to rebuke you and correct you. I'm here to tell you today, there's this man, Jesus Christ, that has perfect, holy, undefiled instruction for you to help you get out of your mess. Isn't that good? That we can struggle with an issue for 16 years and here we still have a holy God sitting on the throne giving me wisdom through His word and through the Holy Spirit to help me come out of my mess 17 years later. Knowing He's never turned His back on me no matter what I've done. What are you doing? No, I'm not talking about in general myself. I'm talking about in general His goodness, man. See, God is so misunderstood. Why? Because of I'm about to be mean here. I don't want to be mean. You know why God is, you know why the church is so liberal and so misunderstood? Do you know what the back end of a donkey is? Because there's too many of those in God's kingdom preaching His word. You know why most pastors say, well, a young girl comes to my church, she better be dressed good. She better not be dressed in no jeans in my church. You know why that pastor says that? Because he can't take his eyes off that young lady in them tight jeans. And that's why. I mean, you come as you are. You let the Holy Ghost, according to His word, take care of what you need to do or what you don't need to do. I'm going to come to my church with earrings. Well, you can come here with an earring on your tongue and your eye. I mean, that's not my preference, but it's up to Him to change you. It's the vision of this church. It's the vision of this church. It's for me and you to fall head over heels in love with a man named Jesus Christ. He's not the God that is represented in the majority of the churches in this world. He's not. He's not the God that's looking to take out vengeance on you for getting drunk on Saturday night and going to church on Sunday night. That's not the God that I serve. He's incapable of taking vengeance on you. I fail. I can't even look towards heaven. I don't want to get in my car and drive because I got drunk last night and I got to go to church Sunday. I'm such a hypocrite. If I go down the road, God's going to kill me. No, friends. No, 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 no. Heck no. I was going to say the other word, but I ain't going to say it. Heck no, that's not Him. That is not Him. Lord, I gave my life to You a year ago. I'm still struggling with dope. That's not good, but you know what? He still calls you more than a conqueror. He still sees you as His child. He gives you His word to transform you and conform you into His image. He's not mad at you. He's tickled pink that at least you're trying. He isn't mad. That's the biggest misconception about God. He's not mad at you, man. You think He saved you to disregard you? Or did He save you to mold and mend you into the image of His Son? Oh my God, if you could ever grasp that. I'm here to help you, friends. I'm here to help you. Get over your worst opponent, who the devil knows ourselves. Through God's word. Thank you, Alex. Where would I be without Alex? I only know. Does anybody know, and I hope you didn't Google this, Renee. Anybody know what the word Bible means? Anybody? No, it's not basic church before it even earth. No. That's the urban, the definition of it. Anybody know what the word Bible means, honestly? Anybody? My God, for real? Books. Means book. It means books, exactly. Now, bear with me. We're going to try to establish tonight shortly. I don't preach long. We should be out here by about 11 o'clock tonight. No, I'm just playing. 8:20, 8:15. For the last, I've been saved 20-something years. I've been preaching here about 10 years. What do I always tell you to do? To what? What's Deidre say on that? Read your what? Read your Bible. The word Bible means books. Pray in tongues. Worship the Lord. Read your Bible. Why? Because in it, in the Bible, in these books, contains the thoughts, the words, the mind of Jesus Christ. When I say the word of God tonight, I'm going to use a different word. I'm going to use the word logos, which is a Greek meaning for, just means words of God, words of Christ. This is a logos, the word. It's just a Greek interpretation of the word, word. So instead of using the word word, we're going to use the word logos. Logos. I don't know how to pronounce logos. The word of God. I ask you to to read His Word to get His thoughts inside of what? You. I say, Alex, read His Word. Read the Logos. Why, Homer? So you can go to, so you can go to a place of exchange where you can exchange. I was born again 21 years ago. The day I got born again, I fell down on my knees at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm running to the edge. I got born again 20-something years ago, edge of my bed, addicted to pornography, smoking crack cocaine. Hated my wife. Don't worry, lady, she hated me too, so life was miserable. Got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, I cried for 2 or 3 days because I was so happy because the Word of God, Jesus Christ, came to live inside of me. But lo and behold, though, my friends, though I felt so happy and renewed in my heart, all my old problems, they didn't go away. There was a change in me where I knew complete right from wrong in God because Jesus Christ came to live inside of me. But I still had certain desires in my life. A lot of them went away, but a lot of them hung around for a while. So I had to go to a place of exchange to get rid of all the things that were still in me, to depositing His Word inside of me. In other words, I needed to exchange who I was before I got born again and exchange for what He says I am now, which is His Word. I had to go to the place of exchange. Or I had to get rid of my thoughts, my wants, my earthly needs, and exchange or download His Word into my soul to replace His Word, to replace who I was before with His new instruction, with His Word, with His Logos. You with me? So I asked you, every time I see Deidre's real close to me, they go to the house, Mackenzie, all these guys go to the house. My kids, you know, we sit down, we read the Word. You know, people tell me, well, do you know your kid's doing this or your kid's doing that? Yeah, I know. Yeah. And they come to me like, if it's, hey, Homer, do you know? Mm-hmm. They think they're bringing this. Oh, my God, come here. I got to talk to you. Oh, my God, I don't know how to tell you this. Oh, my God. I seen him. I saw him. And your point is, some of my kids think they slick. I let them think they are. But I'm not hurting me. I'm still going to go on. I'm not hurting me. So what do? Nothing. I sit down with him at night. We're not out playing baseball or football. And we sit down and we read the Word of God. I refuse to sit there and worry and cry every night about my kids if they're not doing good. I refuse to live in agony. Or something that I can't control in the natural. That's an injustice to you, an injustice to me, an injustice to my God. All I can do as a father is make the best out of every opportunity I have with my children. I'll love them and I'll forgive them 490 times a day. But I know where I'm going. They can dig their own ditch, their own grave if they want to. I don't mean physical death. They can hurt themselves. I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to smile. I'm going to be real happy. And about 12 o'clock, I'm going to go get me something to eat. And now that the club chicken sandwich is on sale at Burger King, I might go to Burger King tomorrow. Even if my kids are doing bad, I'm still going to eat. Obviously, right? But all I can do is sit down with them, pray over them, and okay. You know what hypocrisy is as a parent? parent. You know what hypocrisy is as a parent? When I tell my child, put God first in your life. What? And then they see me do otherwise. Hypocrisy is when I tell my child, don't drink. And then I come home drunk. Hypocrisy is when I tell my kid not to cuss, but I cuss. Hypocrisy is when I tell my son, don't fornicate, yet I fornicate. That's hypocrisy. But all we have in this world, my friends, is His Word. And I hold nothing, nothing over reading His Word. Nothing in the world. Yes, I pray in tongues a lot, but I don't even hold that over prayer. That's just me. And I pray in tongues for hours every day. Don't get me wrong. But this book describes to me and you what tongues does. All we have at the end of the day is this word to change us. The Logos. I can't sit here and worry about Alex or Renee if they're living right or wrong. That's not my place to worry about them. I can't worry about Julie, Elijah quitting. I can't worry about... I mean, as a parent, you still think about it because, my God, I don't want my kids to live like this. But we're not called to worry about situations. We're called to sit down, and I'm called to lead my children in the ways of God to the best of the ability of God in Him. I can't do nothing else outside of His Word. But the word Bible means books. So I tell you, I say, read the Bible. Because I want you to encounter and embrace all that God is. And I promise you this. If you ever learn, if you're stubborn enough to sit down for 10 or 15 minutes a day and put His Word in you, you'll never be the same. The word Bible means the word books. I'm asking you to read His books, His mind, His holy undefiled thoughts. And I'm asking you to put them in you for your benefit. So you can walk according to perfection. This is perfection. It's purer than the purest of gold. There's nothing like God's word. Nothing. There's not another book in the world that supersedes this. Nothing. Not one book in the world. I do not read any books. What the best book that I've never read is Pastor Dave's book, and I've never read it. It doesn't supersede this. But it's the best book that I've never read. But it doesn't supersede this. Nothing supersedes this. Psalm 15 said it's holy and undefiled, pure than the purest of gold. Men have died. They've been sawn in pieces. They've been burned alive, killed, murdered because they stood for what this book says me and you can stand for. They've died. They've been filleted alive, crucified, upside down, believing that word, martyred for Jesus. When I say Mackenzie, I say Deidre, Quentin, Elijah, Julie, read your Bible. What I'm saying is read the books, read the mind of God, put this inside of you. So let's say you don't read the Bible, a.k.a. books. And I tell you, Renee, read it, son. Put God's thoughts inside. Get rid of Renee's thoughts and infuse yourself with God's thoughts. That's why I want you to read. So what if you don't read the Bible, the books? Okay, I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. I mean, some of you might answer this. Some of you might say, he's trying to trick me. Give me three rappers' names that are out there right now. Mm-hmm. That's my son. Hallelujah. But we're going to go home tomorrow. What are we going to do, son? 1 o'clock. Read the Bible. So I ask you. That's my son. They came out quick too, didn't they? At least have a 20-second delay before I ask you, son. Like, you got to think about it. But you know why I can laugh at that? Because tomorrow says, Dad, you know what we're going to do, Miss Kathy? We're going to sit down at 1 o'clock. We're going to read the Bible. We're going to pray for each other. That's all I can do as a dad. Listen to this now. I've asked him to read the Bible, to read God's books. And if you don't, in essence, what did you do? You read a what? A what? You're reading a book. If you don't read this, and I ask you to read this because I want this to be in you, and this can't be in you lest you read it. And if you read it, it's in you. You'll walk according to what it says inside the book. But you won't walk according to 1 Timothy. You won't walk according to John lest you put it in you. And if you decide to put it in you consistently, habitually, you'll walk according to what you put in you. You'll be impregnated with God's word. But if you choose not to, there's another book you're going to read. And if you read his book, if you hear his music, you'll put his book, you'll put his music inside of you, and you will walk according to what you read. Pastor Homer, it's hard. No, it's not hard. Quit putting that junk in you, and you'll make it. How you conduct yourself in this world is a direct reflection of what's in your heart. Am I judging you? No, I'm helping you. The Logos. That's why Christians in general, waver to and fro in their faith. Because they lack going to that proper place of exchange where they sit there putting the thoughts of the Almighty God inside of their soul. They go and read another book. And what you put in, my friend, comes out. Now, I myself personally, I think interracial couples, you might not agree with me, that's fine. I think they make the prettiest babies in the world. Beautiful skin color. If a Haitian and an Anglo-Saxon, a white young lady, they get married and have a child. When the baby comes out, baby's going to be half what? Half white? Half poppy? Half Haitian? Nothing else can come out. 50-50 blend, buddy. 50% white, 50% Haitian, beautiful skin color. Nothing else can come out. Now, if that baby comes out looking like a Chinese, something's wrong. You know what I'm saying? It's the same principle in God's kingdom. It's the same principle. What you put in will come out. I want you to realize this, that once you get born again, Jesus Christ comes in and dwells you. And Jesus is 100% love. And that before you were born again, Jesus didn't live inside of you. Jesus was still love. And I'm almost done. Jesus was still love. So I said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, I love you. I worship you. I want to be saved today. Jesus comes and lives inside of you. And if Jesus is love on the outside, when he comes in, he's still what? Love. Jesus is the mighty Logos. He is the mighty Word. We have to look at our everyday journey with God, and we have to look at it and take it more personal. I do. Do you know once you get born again, you know what? Right from wrong. Whenever somebody... they talk about you. The first thing as an individual we want to do is what? Sometimes just defend ourselves. We want to talk back. But do you know, if you're born again, I'm going to use about four or five different analogies. What we're talking about is the effect of the Logos, of God's Word inside of you. Somebody talks about you, somebody. You go to Burger King, Christian man, McDonald's, Wendy's, you go there and you see a good-looking young lady. You're there. Hey, $9 here, thank you. It's your debit card. See, she's pretty. And men, come on now. You might think that our necks were created to do 90-degree turns. You know? Hey. But do you know that as a born-again Christian, you're at that drive-thru. You take out that debit card. Give to that pretty young lady. Two things are calling. Your own selfish ambition, your own selfish lust are calling to do a 90. Or the mighty Logos, the Word of God, cries from within you. And He's saying, son or daughter, don't do it. We need to stop thinking that that's just, well, I did it. No. What you knew not to do was the voice of Jesus Christ. Loving God is obeying God. The words, I love you, Jesus, are way too broad. I love you with all my heart. Loving Jesus is obeying Jesus. Obeying Jesus is obeying the Logos, the Word that lives inside of me and you, that tells us yea or nay every single day, at least 100 times a day. When you know to do wrong, and you do it anyway, you didn't just go through the motion. We disobeyed a holy, loving God that indwells us and spoke to us by His Logos, by His Word, and said, son or daughter, don't do it. That is loving God. Are you perfect, Pastor Homer? Heck no. But this is perfect. This is perfect. And the more I deposit this inside of me, the stronger and stronger in stature that I grow. We're not making that 90-degree turn. It gets easier and easier and easier and easier and easier. I've been married 21 years. Right? Is that right, Elijah? Yeah, 21. Anyway, she's not here, so I don't know if I'm wrong. It doesn't matter. Huh? That's right. Oh, Lord. Is that right, 21 years? Same thing. No, I rounded it off because they've been so pleasant. I've been married 21 years. 21 years. 20 years. 21 years. And I always said to myself, and this isn't, again, as God is my way, this isn't an indictment against anybody. Before God, it's not. And I said to myself, I'll never get married. I can be faithful to one woman. Can't do it. Ain't gonna do it. I'll never get married. Well, guess what, my friends? I'm going on 21 years, and I've yet to touch another woman. Why? Because I go to the place of exchange. Have I looked at another woman? Yeah. Have I touched another woman? No. could be worse. I could have looked at a man. But the point that I'm making is the mighty Logos, his word, it's holy and undefiled, and it will change you every single day of your life if you got the guts to embrace it. Some of that Mexican music is bad too, Mexicans. Don't think we ain't gonna blame all the rap people now. When that country music is too, and I ain't gonna lie. I know some of them songs talk about beach nut and shoot that dude in the eye on my old 45. I know they ain't too bad, but there's some songs in it talking about some. And every Mexican song, every Mexican's drunk, killing his ex-wife. Almost every Mexican song. He called her another man, so he got drunk and he killed her. How entertaining can that be? La pesqué con otro hombre. And he killed her. He shot her. Or drunk. Every Mexican song, like Carl says, they say the word. What is it? No, they say that. But every Mexican song, it talks about getting drunk. Every single one of them. One song even says the guy, he couldn't wait because I used to hear him. I used to get drunk to him all the time. One song talks about, and it's got a religious approach to it. He said, voy a buscar un rinconcito en el cielo. He said, I'm going to find a little corner in the sky in heaven so I can make love to you. And that song, and I know all that, I haven't heard that song in years, but it's still part of my life because I read the book. You with me? Very perverted. I used to love, they degraded women. I could probably still today sing them songs word for word because I read the book for so long. But eventually, if I keep reading this book, if I keep fasting, if I keep praying, all that will go away. But I have to go to that place of exchange. Or I exchange all my idiotic thoughts for his holiness. So he's not mad at your friend in these closing words. He's not mad at you. But he gives you hope, strength, opportunity in him. I don't care what you did last night or how many times you did it. And guess what? He doesn't either. He's just so happy that you're here today, being quiet, hearing his instruction. Really, he could care less about yesterday. Jesus has short-term memory. Quite the contrary, if you're born again and you ask him to forgive you, he casts that sin as far as the east is from the west. And if he casts it as far as the east is from the west, that means he what? He can't remember it. I'm here to encourage you in your weakness. I'm not just going to tell you to do better, not give you the formula on how to do better. I want to help you do better. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the first teaching Jesus did, or the first teaching that was recorded by him. Deposit that. 5, 6, and 7 over and over again. And as you that are here, pray in tongues, receive those revelations, receive those mysteries. I'll go into that later. But deposit it in you. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Deposit his word, his logos into your heart, and you'll walk according to what you deposit in there. If a Mexican marries a Mexican and they produce a child, that baby's going to be Mexican. If an African American marries an African American and they have children, the baby's going to be black. If he's Mexican, somebody cheated. If an Anglo-Saxon has marries an Anglo-Saxon and they have a baby, that baby better be white or somebody cheated. If we, impregnate ourselves with God's word. God's word will come out of our spirit. Spiritual law, it'll happen. First and foremost is you got to put it in there. You got to impregnate yourself. Which you already impregnated if you're born again. But you got to transform your mind, renew your mind with his word. You have to. There is nothing in the world like this book. Show it some respect. Consume it. Dig into it. And your walk with Jesus Christ will become easier and easier because you're downloading something holy and undefiled inside of you. Download that inside of you and you'll walk according to that download. But if I download this, if I download this, Miss Courtney, and I consume this, eventually I'll walk according to this. And Jesus said in chapter 5, I beg you guys to read it. Now I know I've talked to Alex Campbell and Courtney, a lot of these girls have been talking about developing a Bible study at Ave Maria. That's good. Go over Matthew 5, 6, 7. I beg you, go over it over and over again. But Jesus said, and I'm done. It's only 8:05. That's my first closing, which means what? I mean, I got five more to go. Jesus said in Matthew 5, listen to this now. And I'm done for real, cross my heart. My heart's on this side. I got a big heart. See? Jesus said, and I wish most Christians would remember this. I wish they would remember this. Because my friend Matt said it before, and he said, we just talk too much. But Jesus said, I'm going to read it to you real quick. One verse. I love my Bible. You know, my Bible's got a name. You know what I named it? Stable. That's my Bible's name, is Stable. Why? Because the Word of God is stable. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He said, let your light so shine. Has anybody ever heard of a talking light? A light that talks? If you can find me a light that talks, please call me. I'd like to hear him or her. He said, let your light shine. What does a light do? It shines. A light does not talk. If Christians shined as much as they talked, we'd win society over, Miss Kathy. We'd win it over. But we think we know everything. We want to correct everybody. Alex gave me a CD that I did not like. But I was bored, so I heard it. And there was this. And I don't like the beat of it. I don't like it. Wasn't his music. I like Alex's music. He say I'm too young, you know. I like that. The first 15 times I heard it, but I like it. But he gave me one, this rapper. I don't know who the heck. He's a Christian rapper, but I guess his preacher must have did an insert on the song, and it really hit the spot. Where I'm paraphrasing now. The preacher said, when you first got born again, all you wanted was me. But now, all you want to do is correct everybody. Our first love is to encounter this one man, Jesus Christ, that gave all he had for my freedom through his blood. He is our first love. We're called to let our light shine like a city set on a hill. Lights don't talk. They shine. How does our light shine? When somebody reviles us, we don't revile back. When someone cusses us, we don't cuss back. When someone judges us, we don't judge back. When somebody slanders us, we don't slander back. See, lights don't talk, they shine. He said, let your light so shine like a city. He said, I've made the mistake as a preacher. Because I could pray extended hours in tongues. Look, I'm not here to preach tongues. I'm here to preach Jesus. And I pray in tongues a whole lot. That's not my doctrine. Or it is and it isn't. Let me rephrase that. But I wanted to argue with everybody that wouldn't be filled with the Holy Ghost and prayed in tongues. That's not what he would have me to do. I pray in tongues to have Jesus glorified in me. To be transformed in the image of God. I need to preach Jesus. Oh, I pray in tongues a whole lot, and it is the making of my ministry. I wouldn't be where I am today without it. But we're not called to argue with everybody about what we know and what we don't know. If Jesus could be seen in me and you, we would never have to argue at all about what we do. This is the perfect example. And here, we're done. This is what we're after. I say, Miss Terry is so loving and so awesome. And people, she walks by anybody at the restaurant and they say, oh my God, Terry, what is it about you? What's different about you? When you say the word Jesus, it just, you radiate, Terry, like if you know him intimately. What? I hear so many other Christians, Terry, talk about Jesus, but when you say the name Jesus, there's power and anointing and conviction. Terry, what do you do, Terry? What do you do different? That's when we can explode, Miss Kathy. Well, I got this little prayer language called praying in tongues. And I just sit there and pray for hours, transforming myself into his image. But see, the modern day church is backwards. We put the cart before the horse. Did I say that right? If you don't pray in tongues, you're not going to shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. Cap locks, shut up. Now, I'll teach you about that. That's not what I'm saying. I'll teach you about it. I'll preach to you about it. But our boast is in him. It's in him. Tongues will take you to a place in him that you can't even imagine. But we're here preaching Jesus out of a revelation from tongues. You with me on that? Don't throw your mixed emotions now. I'm coming against tongues. No, heck no. But we're here so people can see Jesus inside of me and you through that gift. Not the gift first and then Jesus first. We're here to bring him glory by being quiet and letting our lifestyle shine like that light. See, we can put this room pitch dark and turn that light on and you'll be able to see it. We'll be able to see in as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ as we pray those hours in tongues behind closed doors. And then we go out into a perverted society and they see, my God, that Courtney, what the heck? She's so different. Let what we do behind closed doors be made manifest openly in a dark society. Let Jesus be seen in me and you through what we do behind closed doors. We're not called to argue this word. And I've been first and foremost to argue and be sarcastic. I taught Alex and Renee how to be real sarcastic. Now I got to fix it. And it's hard. But all that we do, the fasting, I'm done in 1 minute, the fasting, the worship, tongues, confession, all that is to change me and you into the image of Jesus Christ. All that is to put us in a place where we can believe who he is. Don't preach what we do behind closed doors as your righteousness. As you got to, please don't go out of here with the devil clamoring in your mind that I'm coming against what Pastor Brown. That's far from it. Saying let what you do in secret, let it be done in secret. And let the power of it, the manifestation of it, be made public in society. My friends, let Jesus transform you into his image through the prayer language that he's given us and through his word and through worship. Let's make a difference in this dark, perverted, nasty, ugly society by being a light that shines and not talks. Society needs die-hard believers. Jesus needs believers that will deny themselves daily and take up their cross and follow him to bring society, not by our words, but by our works, but how we do, obeying God's word inside of me and you. This is the mighty Logos. This is his word. Entertain it. Download it. And you will never, ever be the same. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Eventually, I'll start teaching them. Put it in you, man. Go to the mountain. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Courtney, get with your girls. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Over it, over and over again. Downloading it. And you will never be the same. Amen. Again, before we leave, we're here to testify of his goodness by our lifestyle, by nothing else. I'm not here to debate with you, as I've done in the past with other churches, whether what they believe. I'm not called. You know the best way to debate with somebody that's wrong in their preaching? Just preach what's right. If they receive it, they do. If they don't, they don't. Right? Just preach what's right. You don't have to debate it. Well, I'm right and you're wrong. Just preach what's right and whatever else happens, happens. Just preach what's right. You don't have to debate it. No, this is wrong. This is right. Just preach what's right and it's over. If they receive it, they receive it. If they don't, they don't. If they do, that's even better. Just preach what's right in love and you'll win them over. Amen. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me, please.